So we've been looking at the shepherds, or the angel's pronouncement to the shepherds in Luke 2. And we looked last week at fear not and behold. And we want to continue this week into Luke 2. And we're going to be talking about good news of great joy. So again, what brings you in this Christmas season, in this holiday season, not looking at just this year, but looking back, what brings you great joy beyond Christmas season? When was the last time you felt great joy? What brings you joy? For some of you, it might be pumpkin spice season, right? Where pumpkin spice is everywhere. Every place you turn, you see pumpkin spice. I like pumpkin spice, but I wouldn't say it brings me joy or great joy. For others, it could be family. For others, it could be certain seasons. It could be accomplishments. But what is it? Share it with us online. I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage you throughout this message, if there's a prayer request, would you please have the courage to just type it in. It can be as brief as you want it to be. You can also send us a message on Facebook, and I'll be looking at that and praying over those throughout the week, but starting tomorrow as well. So what brings you great joy? For myself, the most recent great joy would be my wife and I's granddaughter. So there she is, okay? So that is Ella Jane. And she is, 6 months old now. And so we were down there for Thanksgiving with a small gathering of family. And so Grandpa being able to play with her, and I put that over her head, and then I realized, wow, she looks like a shepherd. So I wanted to share that as well. But some of you have been asking about family. But great joy, not good joy, great joy. So we're going to pick up in Luke 2. And to go through, so it says in verse 8 again, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." They continue, and he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." I want to say to you, I believe great joy is found when we hold on for a greater hope. So what was that greater hope? What was it that they were hanging on to in a difficult time? What were they clinging on to? What were they hoping for? To understand the time back then, and what the seasons and what they were like, and what their hope was found in, I want to go all the way back to Isaiah 9. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah 9, starting right off in verse 1. Now, Isaiah is saying this after he tells them that there are going to be bad times. There are going to be difficult times. There are going to be difficult times for Israel as a nation, and they will be in exile. And there's warnings along the line. And that goes into chapter 8. We want to pick up in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future where Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory." It says Galilee of the Gentiles. We know that Jesus grew up in Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. So it's talking about the hope of a coming, the hope of a Messiah. Isaiah continues, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. The Messiah will shine light into the deep darkness of despair in their situation. Verse 3, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian, saying that the Messiah will bring freedom to the oppressed. It will set people free that are bound. He finishes and says, and the boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And out of this darkness, out of this depression, out of this despair, comes a great prophecy in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We move forward now, and the baby's been born. The hope that was longed for, the hope that was expected, is now hope that is fulfilled. We see the shepherd's joy. After the angels appear and the shepherds go and they find the baby and they worship at the baby. And in verse 20 of Luke 2, it says, and the shepherds returned from seeing the baby Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The shepherds were filled with great joy, just as the angel said. We see wise men had joy. In Matthew 2, as they're seeking him, they see a star, they study stars, and they see a star that's different. Something's changed. So they go about and they follow that star, and that leads them to a place. And King Herod tries to bring them in and say, tell me who it is. Please go find the baby. So, and then tell me where he is so I can find him and worship him. Matthew 2 says, and behold the star that they had seen when it rose and went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The wise men knew the great joy of the hope fulfilled. Jesus starts to grow up. Still a very young child is brought to the temple, and there is an old faithful woman there. Her name is Anna. And in Luke 2, verse 36, it tells us about Anna. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, 37, and then as a widow until she was 84. Here's the key. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting, prayer, night and day. She's waiting. She's still expecting. And coming up at that very hour, as she sees Mary and Joseph and Jesus, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was a prophetess. It means that she was standing, she was waiting because of something God told her. And she waited expectantly for that joy to be fulfilled. And when she saw the baby Jesus, she knew that this was the one for the redemption of Jerusalem, and she is filled with great joy. Great joy is found when we hold on to a greater hope. And now, 2,000 years later, because of that night, we have access to great joy, just as they did. When Jesus becomes more than our friend, when Jesus becomes more than what we understand or what we've learned, more than just something we hoped for, but when Jesus becomes our reality, our Lord, our Savior, it brings great hope. We have great joy because he is our Savior. What does that mean? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, and verse 11, and such were some of you. He's talking about idolatrous and greedy and people that were doing things for the wrong reason. He said, and such were some of you, but, it's always key, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He's saying you were washed. You were these things, but you've been washed and now are made clean. You've been sanctified or set apart for a specific purpose, for God's purpose, because you belong to him. You were justified and made right before God in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. When we put our faith, our hope, our lives in Jesus, that's when we are washed. That's when we are sanctified. That's when we are justified. When it moves beyond a knowledge and an understanding to something that we adopt of our own, that's what we're saved to. But what does that mean we are without Jesus? Churches don't tend to like to talk about that a whole lot. It's not a pretty picture, but it's still a real picture. And it's still important to know what we were before we accepted Jesus as our own. We know afterwards, 1 Corinthians says, we were washed, we were sanctified, we were justified. But before, according to theologian Michael Byrd, he says, according to the gospel, since we are believers and we are justified, then formally we were condemned. So if we are justified through Jesus, then without Jesus, we are condemned. That since we are believers and are reconciled to God, then formally we were estranged or separated from God. That since we are believers and are rescued from the darkness, that formally without Jesus, we are trapped in our darkness. That since we are believers, we were cleansed by Jesus' blood. Then formerly, we were defiled. Since we were believers and are redeemed, then formerly, we were enslaved. And since we are believers through Jesus, and that he makes us alive, then that means formerly, before Jesus, without Jesus, we are dead. That's who we are without Jesus. We are dead. We are separated from God. We are trapped in darkness. We are enslaved. We are condemned. But A.B. Simpson says this: this is the gospel that men need. A gospel that brings glad tidings to every human need and saves us utterly and perfectly in every part of our being. He's saying that's the good news. That's the glad tidings. That's what we need. We need a Savior that saves us utterly, that saves us perfectly in every part of us. The reason the gospel of Jesus, gospel meaning good news, but the reason it's good news, and this is what I hope to show you today, is that without Jesus, separate from Jesus, apart from Jesus, we are in a bad way. He moves us from the bad way to the good news, to be rescued, to be redeemed. This is not a conviction of yourself. This is not just a conviction of what you've done. This is a conviction. You are in a bad way. This is a conviction of your sin that you inherited from Adam and Eve when they first disobeyed God many, many years ago. As a result, we are born into this status of being separated from God. And Jesus provides the bridge to repair that relationship. Into this darkness, the angels come, and the glory of the Lord is shown all around him. And they say, good tidings, good news, great joy for all people. They're saying that the gospel process was beginning. That because of the baby being born in the manger and who he was and what he did, and as he grew up to sacrifice his life, because of that, as his sacrifice for your sin, it is good news, and you don't need to live like that any longer. You don't need to live trapped in the darkness. You don't need to live estranged from God. You don't need to live enslaved in your sin. Because of Jesus, you can have hope that is built on something everlasting. That's the good news. All around us are things that are temporary. Even this COVID situation and the sickness that feels like it goes on forever is temporary. And God is greater. And Jesus is greater. And when we fix our eyes on him, he becomes our hope. Not our circumstances, not our situations, but he becomes great hope for us. But we have to choose it. We have to choose him. It's not something we inherit. Yes, we've inherited sin, as I said, from Adam and Eve and what happened in the garden. But we don't inherit a right relationship with God through our parents, through our grandparents, through the schools we went to, through the groups that we belong to, through the people that we hang out with. It is a choice that has to be made personally, one-on-one. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his son because he loved the world. That whoever believes in him, who he is, what he's done, and what he did for you, shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Romans 10:9 says it this way. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It gives the formula right there. What do I need to do? I need to confess with my mouth that Jesus is not only Lord, but is my Lord. I need to believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. In Luke 24, after Jesus was crucified, after Jesus was dead, after Jesus was buried, after the stone was rolled back and he was risen and resurrected, he appears to the disciples and to many others. And then he goes off with some of his followers and he goes to Bethany. And it says in Luke 24, verse 50, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he led them and was taken up into heaven. He ascended. He was gone. He was leaving them. His work on earth was completed. He was the wisest man they ever knew. He was the greatest servant they ever knew. He was the most compassionate man, person they ever knew. He made the greatest sacrifice for them that they would ever know. And what is their response? It shows their joy. He was gone. And in verse 52, it says, then they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. You see, they not only believed in who he was, they believed in what he said. And so no longer was their hope tied into the material existence of their Messiah in front of them. It was tied to the hope of what he was saying would happen. Great joy is found when we hold on to a greater hope. So where are you? Where's your hope resting? Where's your hope clinging on for some of you? Have you made that choice for yourself to be saved from your sin? To accept Jesus as your own Savior, your own Lord. Maybe you've made that choice, but you've wandered away. So many things have happened in your situations and things going bad that you start to doubt that decision, start to doubt that faith, or you just don't feel alive and as on fire as you once were. Then the steps are the same for both. We have to go back to Jesus. You can fix that right now. Romans 10 says, confess with your mouth. If you don't know him, it's Jesus, I believe that you are the Holy Son of God. I believe you came here born on earth to save me from my sins. I believe you died for me, and that you were resurrected and now sit next to God in heaven. Confess your belief to Jesus. I believe that without you, I am lost. If you've made that decision, but you feel far from God, then pray this right where you are. I believe that without you, I'm lost, estranged, trapped in my darkness. And so today, I give my life, I give my will to you. Today, I declare that you are my Savior. You will be my Lord of my life. And I place my hope in you. And we feel far from him. Or we don't know him, we have to go back to him. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. And you will be saved. And you can experience that great joy. That great joy that comes with great peace. And you can find your joy even when the situations are difficult. Even when things are falling apart all around you. Because as Jesus, as your Lord, you are never forgotten. You are never forsaken. You are never left behind. I pray that this message goes and hits the people that need to hear it. Whether you're far from Jesus or whether you don't know him and you just assumed through the things you did or didn't do or your family that you've made that personal decision. If you have any questions about this, you can send me an email. You can do it through Facebook. I want to talk to you. Questions, things that don't make sense to you. I want to help you in that. I want to help you in this season to reestablish and find your joy. You see all these banners of he's the reason for the season. Well, his joy and the hope that we have in him is the reason that we can be content. Remember, it says he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. If he's your Savior, if he's your Lord.